Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's time for our spring membership drive. More about that in a minute. No matter who or where you are in central Ohio this week, perhaps you don't feel spring in the air, but the stars and the planets don't lie. They are where they are supposed to be, or something has gone very awry. The ancients told time by the planets and the stars. Most of us can tell the time of year by the arc of the sun. Joining us now is someone who can get a bit more technical and poetical.
Not much.
And poetical about the whole thing. Ohio Wesleyan University English professor.
Yeah, remember, March comes in like a lion. That would be Leo.
Leo, but it's up there somewhere. And Perkins Observatory Director Tom Burns. Welcome back to the show, as always, Tom Burns.
Always glad to be here. Always glad to be anywhere, as the old Henny Youngman joke goes.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. And with a pledge of support at $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, our thank you gift to you will be 4 tickets to the Perkins Observatory. This gift is thanks to Observatory Director Tom Burns, who is a great friend of WOSU. You can get a family 4-pack of tickets by making a pledge of support to 89.7 NPR News right now. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And when you're done with that, you can give us a call and ask Tom Burns just about anything you want about the galaxy and the universe and whatnot.
Ooh-ee-ooh.
I'll hand out that number in just a few minutes. The number to call right now is 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. And thank you.
Call. Unless I get my first call, I'm not answering any questions.
He's a stubborn man.
Instead, I will be performing my rendition of the old standard, Feelings. Any calls yet? Feelings.
That'll send you to the stars.
Nothing more than feelings.
You know, we don't actually talk about the Perkins Observatory up in Delaware County very often.
My favorite subject. Thank you very much.
We do in passing sometimes, but we just assume people know all about it. When it was built, it was a world-class operation. They broke ground in 1923. How did it come about? Why in the universe would it be built in Delaware County?
We like to call it the house that Hoggs built, because during the Civil War, this goes way back now, doesn't it? Hiram Perkins, a professor at Ohio Wesleyan University, took a leave of absence, partly because he wanted to fight in the war against slavery, partly because there weren't many students. They were all out fighting the war. And he went back to his family farm near, I think it was then, near Marion, Ohio, and raised pigs for his country,
right,
to provide food for the Union soldiers. And in fact, it is that money, after all of those years, after Hiram retired, that built Perkins Observatory. Never spent a single penny on himself.
Was he an astronomy professor?
Yes, he was. He taught, back in those days, there were a limited number of professors, so he did quadruple duty. He taught science classes of various kinds and mathematics. That was his original forte, but became an endowed chair of the teaching astronomy, and it was one of the things that made the university very popular in those days, because it was one of the small liberal arts schools that you could go to where you could actually get a major in astronomy, which, by the way, is true to this very day.
Now, you don't see observatories just popping up anywhere.
They look a little like mushrooms.
Today, to build some things, you'd think it was a really big deal, but years ago, it wouldn't have been such a big deal. But years ago, it was a really big deal to do this.
That's right. The $250,000 that it took, which Hiram Perkins earned himself and from the investment of that hug money, as we like to call it, was just the beginning. I mean, sticking an observatory out in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, and literally that's where you need to put an observatory, 3 miles south of what was then a very small town called Delaware with a very small university, is no big deal. As a matter of fact, there wasn't anybody in the United States who really knew how to make the big mirror, and nobody for a long time was willing to take the challenge of putting a 135,000-pound sheet metal dome up on the building.
Thanks, Pat Semmelman from Columbus. That's our first pledge of the hour. Thanks a lot, Pat, for getting the ball rolling.
I guess I won't be singing today.
Thank you, Pat. And I guess you just don't really feel like listening to Feelings. You don't have to now. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have a question for Tom Burns. He's my special guest this hour. He's director of the Ohio Wesleyan University Perkins Observatory. And we're talking a little bit about the observatory and its history right now. If you have a question on astronomy, anything astronomical to do with planets or the sun or the solar system or the universe or the galaxy, give us a call, 614-292-8513. If, however, like Pat Semmelman, you would like to show your support for 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Dan Fisher, you can call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Now, speaking of the lenses and so forth, World War I had a big impact on the construction of the lenses. Everything kind of came to a standstill.
That's right. The idea here was to steal the technology of mirror making, primarily. And also, you know, there are a lot of steel you have to have to put battleships together and things like that. So they had the people in the U.S. Bureau of Standards, who Hiram paid to go over to Europe, had to wait. And a lot of the construction had to wait as well as the war lingered on and steel was used for other reasons. So it took them 7 years to actually learn how to make telescope mirrors, something that was generally done in Europe. The technology and the expertise was there. It wasn't here in the United States.
I mean, that's a big deal. That's one of the reasons why it's an historical site. It brought forward an industry that didn't exist in the United States at the time.
In very many ways, we founded the optical telescope industry in America with the construction and the careful polishing and pouring of glass and things like that that people didn't know how to do here in the United States. We founded that industry in the United States. Thanks to Hiram Perkins. Thanks, Hiram, wherever you are.
It wasn't long before the location, though, near fast-growing Columbus and Delaware, proved a problem already. It seemed like out in the middle of nowhere even 25 years ago when I moved here, but it was long ago not considered that by the experts.
Well, two problems cropped up. One of them had to do with Ohio State's participation in the observatory starting in the early 1930s. They were looking for a research telescope, and they didn't get that many opportunities to use that telescope because, in case you haven't noticed, it's awfully cloudy in central Ohio.
Oh, glitch.
The second problem was, of course, over time, the increase in outside lighting, which made a perfect pristine sky turn to what we have today, which is still pretty good, but not suitable for the kind of astronomical research that people wanted to do. Just for the record, though, until the death of Phil Canaan a few years back, research by Ohio State continued to be done at Perkins Observatory and continues to be done by professors at Ohio Wesleyan University, which, by the way, is a very fine university. You should consider sending your children there when they graduate from high school. There, I got the plug in. I feel much better.
My guest is Tom Burns, director of Ohio Wesleyan University Perkins Observatory. Our gift to you at the $10 a month sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 is the family four-pack of passes to the Perkins Observatory, which is what we've been talking about. You can learn about the night sky with stargazing expert Tom Burns right in your own backyard at the Perkins Observatory. We'll send you four passes so you can take your entire family to enjoy the night sky. Spend a lovely night with your family in Delaware at the observatory. Learn some astronomy, tour the observatory, and view the night sky. Perkins has a public program just about every Friday night. Bonnie in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Hi,
Call
Bonnie.
Call for information.
I was just intrigued by your tours, and I've always wondered what's holding me back is I always wondered what you would do if it was cloudy out.
Well, we do a variety of things. We do a little pseudo-planetarium show on a flat screen up at the front with a talk I usually give entitled Everything You Would Have Seen in the Telescopes Had the Skies Been Clear and How to Find Them Yourself in a Pair of Binoculars from Your Own Backyard. Yes, my friends, you do not need a telescope as big as a corn silo to do astronomy. Then we'll take a break, let you look at the exhibits and displays. Then we'll do a tour of the observatory, complete with ghost story, if you're good.
Okay. Bonnie, thanks a lot for that call. David in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome, David.
Hi, Professor. Just curious about the small planetarium
Observatory.
Observatory at the OWU campus. Is that ever open to the public?
Right there on Oak Hill. It is occasionally open to the public for special events, but and no reflection on that. That's primarily used for training students and by the Ohio Wesleyan University Astronomy Club, and is over 100 years old, by the way.
Wow.
But we have somewhat better skies down at the observatory, and I might also down at Perkins. And by the way, we also have a much larger telescope.
All right, David, thanks a lot for that call. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's a special hour on All Sides because our good friend Tom Burns is in the studio with a special offer for listeners who call right now. Make a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer or make a one-time gift of $120 and we'll send you four passes to the Perkins Observatory. Or if you can pledge $15 a month as a sustainer and make a one-time gift of $108 or make a one-time gift of $180, I'll get it straight. Right now,
a lot of ors in there. Yes.
We'll send you four passes to the observatory and the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets. Becoming a sustaining member at $10 a month or at $15 a month and get a great thank you gift that we are talking about for this hour only. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. And by the way, the Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets is Tom Burns approved. He gives it his stamp of approval. That's the book Tom Burns recommends, and it is a beautiful book. I don't have it in here with me today, though, but it is a beautiful book, beautifully illustrated.
Star maps by the greatest living stellar cartographer, Will Tyrian. And, excuse me, if I could say a word about that. It's really, people say to me, well, I don't need a book. I don't need star maps on paper because I have Starwalk or something like that for my iPad. And I have to confess, I do use my iPad star map occasionally when I can't remember where Camilo Pardalis is. But the nice thing about the Will Tyrian maps is that they're much more detailed. They identify the so-called deep sky objects, the kinds of things you might want to look at a pair of binoculars, which Starwalk isn't nearly as good at. You have to star hop your way to these objects, and you need a more detailed set of maps than you can find in on any piece of software generally available for your iPad.
Yeah, and it's the size of a book. It's a field guide, so it's intended to be taken out with you at night with a nice little red a red light, so you don't wreck your eyes. And
it's also good for what we like to call amateur armchair astronomers.
There's that too.
People who like to read about these objects before they observe them, or just simply like to read about them, and lots of pretty pictures, of them from the Hubble Space Telescope. And just it's such a beautiful book on that level. It'll just blow you away.
Once again, you're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment for Tom Burns, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. It is our spring membership drive. If you want to make that show of support right now for 89.7 NPR News, for All Sides with Dan Fisher, for all the different kinds of programming we bring you every single day, give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We have real live Central Ohioans two walls away taking the calls. This is how they show their support. Tell them how you want to show your support.
And I just like to say, as I always do when I'm on, I'm walking down that hallway and renewing my membership.
He's not pulling his credit card out, though, right? Oh, here he goes. Okay, just checking. Now, speaking of pulling out and putting away.
I think that one is still good. Let's see.
Speaking of pulling out and putting away credit cards, when did OSU get involved with the Perkins Observatory, and when did they get uninvolved?
Well, in the 1930s, and they first got involved because, let's face it, Ohio Wesleyan was a small university, and it had a really big telescope, then I think the third or fourth largest in the world, and Ohio State at the time had a very large astronomy department, but guess what? No telescope. It was a marriage made in heaven. They finally pulled out back in 1998 with plans to participate in another larger project in darker skies out in Arizona, which they are doing to this day. And we moved our telescope out to Arizona, by the way, back in 1961, mostly to accommodate Ohio State, the Perkins Telescope, and replaced it with the largest amateur telescope in the world at the time, which is still in use to this very day. And people say, well, it's not a very big telescope. It's actually the third largest in Ohio and the largest one in Ohio that anyone is ever going to let you look through. And given the atmospheric turbulence, et cetera, in Ohio, it really is the largest telescope possible to allow for good views. I mean, a bigger telescope means you'd have to be cranking yourself up 50 feet into the ground and off the ground, and you wouldn't get very good views because of all the atmospheric turbulence.
You're always eager for the winter skies because obviously they're darker longer and there's more time if it's clear.
Yes.
But it was awfully cold this year.
Yes, as a matter of fact, there may be some astronomical connection to that, although only time will tell. Back in 1816, we had a kind of similar situation where there were just not that many sunspots at solar maximum, which was supposed to start in 2012, and just never quite happened. That is, we did get a small increase in sunspots over the last couple of years. And that year, 1816, is called by many the year without summer. That is, there might be, and I hesitate to draw any conclusions about this without more data, but this might be a cold, cold summer indeed, a cold season because of the lack of sunspots.
The dearth of sunspots.
That's right. And weather cycles are somewhat connected with sunspot activity. Fear not, though. This is something that's hard to predict,
I'm
and I could be wrong. Only time will tell. Get yourself a heat lamp, folks.
614-292-8513 if you want to question Tom Burns about that theory. 614-292-8513.
Ask me anything. Sunspots are also responsible for periods of insanity and aliens visiting Earth as well. So I just like to say that for the record.
Joining us this morning is Perkins Observatory Director Tom Burns with our thank you gift for this hour. Four passes to the observatory for a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer, or for $15 a month as a sustainer, get the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, and those four passes to the observatory. This is a great reference book with star charts and information on 88 constellations, and you'll get passes to see the stars with Tom. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. We're looking for about 20 calls or web pledges in the next 35 minutes. Make
Yikes.
That call right now, 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Let's get those phones ringing or go online to WOSU.org. It takes just a very few minutes.
Come on, brother and sister stargazers. Dig deep.
Our volunteers are very efficient and well-trained. Okay, so I read that a very rare event occurred on March 20th when an asteroid briefly hid the star Regulus.
Oh, yes.
I love that name, Regulus, in the sky. That surprised me to read that it was a rare event.
Well, it isn't all that rare.
Okay.
That is, these kinds of stellar occultations, every few years decade or something like that, an asteroid will occult, as they say, pass in front of a bright star. Now, this actually provides some useful information. Along the path of this occultation, people will be doing timings when the star appears and disappears. And if you put people in various locations, you can actually kind of measure the topography of that asteroid, that is, you know, if it disappears at a slightly different time, et cetera.
Okay.
You can actually see the mountains and craters on the edge of that asteroid. It's pretty cool, actually. I've participated in a couple of those. It's weird because you're standing there with the time channel in the back going boop, 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 boop. At the tone, the time will be, you know, and WWV. And you're just trying to get that to the exact tenth of a second, if you can.
Next week, on April 14th and 15th, Mars will come pretty close to the Earth. Also, there will be a total lunar eclipse. How close will Mars come?
Mars is going to get, about 67 million miles away from Earth, which is not that great an opposition. These things happen every 2.5 years, but it's something like 30 years before we get a good one. By the way, the next time that will happen is in 2017.
Wow.
If you want to mark this down on your calendar. But this one is an opposition, and Mars will, in a telescope, go from being a tiny little red dot to a slightly larger but still tiny red dot. But still, planetary observers look forward to these oppositions because Mars is, for the most part, never any good except for, a month or 6 weeks around the opposition. That's a long time to wait, 2 years to wait, more than 2 years, before you get a chance to see anything at all on Mars.
I like Mars because I can always pick it out. I get the color.
And we'll be observing it at Perkins during this period of oppositions, if we can get a darn clear sky to do it. And you will be able to see maybe a polar cap. And Mars does have polar caps and some green markings on the surface.
Green markings?
Ooh, green markings, which Percival Lowell, who discovered them using a very large telescope, concluded were vegetation, but he also discovered canals. But what now, he thought were canals.
There weren't vegetation, though.
But they aren't vegetation.
They're minerals or something? They're,
well, what they are kind of the collected effect that you get when you put craters and mountains and all that kind of close together.
Okay.
You can't resolve individual features. What you see is a kind of, what looks green is actually gray. It looks green against the background of Mars, which is the red planet, which means that it looks orange in a telescope.
Thanks to Aaron Nicely in Delaware, and thanks to Betty Montgomery in Reynoldsburg. Thanks so much for your support of 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have 18 calls or web pledges to go this hour. Make this hour a success. 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. Once again, just want to remind you, with a membership to 89.7 NPR News, you will be supporting public radio and supporting All Sides. And for this hour, we have two great thank you gift options. Get your own copy of the Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets and four tickets to see the stars with Tom Burns at the Perkins Observatory for a pledge of $15 a month as a sustainer or for a one-time gift of $180. Or if $120 fits into your budget, get four passes to the observatory for a one-time gift of $120. That's a $10 a month as a sustainer gift. These are great thank you gifts for supporting All Sides during our spring membership drive. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. We have 18 calls or web pledges to go this hour. Help us make this hour a success. Tom Burns is a great friend of 89.7 NPR News. This isn't the only time I have Tom on. I always have him on a couple more times a year besides the membership drives because Tom is part of the usual fare. This is what we do every week. Is to have someone like Tom Burns on.
That's right.
Not literally, but figuratively.
When I think of this, I mean, when I think of how your show deals with local issues in depth in a way that no other local radio station does, and does so with enormous fairness, without editorial bias, I think, what would I do without Ann Fisher? And what would I do without Bluegrass Ramble? I mean, where else are you going to go to get on the weekends to get those fabulous hours of good old picking bluegrass music? Come on, folks.
Well, you're 89.7 NPR News Station. That's where. 18 calls or web pledges to go this hour. Please, we've got about 30 minutes to go. Give us a call. 1-866-897-9678. And I always love, and I know Tom always loves, calls from listeners as well. If you have a question or comment for him.
And what are you going to do without BBC World Service? I tell you, late at night. I want to go out and buy a shortwave radio.
There's something so comforting about those voices.
Oh, yes.
All is well with the world.
That's
right. The BBC's on.
And you get a different slant on the news that you might get here. And really, I mean, there are a lot of really important people in Britain, and they get them on in ways that we might not get them on in the United States. And again, just like WOSU, in depth and with enormous fairness. And where else are you going? Are you going to go listen to that other radio station and listen to what Rush Limbaugh has to say? Well, you could, but
that's the freedom we have.
But what you're either going to get if you agree with him is he's preaching to the choir. And if you disagree with him, what you see is a biased point of view. You don't see that here. Enormous fairness. Come on, support that fairness. Dig deep, brother and sisters.
Give what you can, give what you can afford, live within your means. That's the spirit of WOSU. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Now, there's going to be a total lunar eclipse coming up the early morning hours of April 15th.
Yes, that's right.
Are we actually, if clouds be willing, Are we actually going to be able to see that here?
Oh, yes, indeedy. The whole hemisphere.
We never get to see anything.
The whole hemisphere. Okay. Well, one of the reasons that we don't often get a chance to see lunar eclipses is it's cloudy, and you really do need some clear skies to see this. But yes, starting at about 2 a.m., a tiny little chunk will appear out of the corner of the moon, and it will slowly get smaller and smaller, shrinking and shrinking like it's going through a whole set of monthly phases in about an hour or so. And by about 3:08, something like that, the sun's light will be totally blocked by Earth's shadow, and the moon will shine a deep and bloody red or copper color, depending on the clarity of the sky. And it is just, my friends, one of the most awe-inspiring and wondrous, and I might add slightly scary experience, at least it was to ancients who didn't know exactly what was happening.
Can we watch it from our backyards?
Yes, indeedy. As a matter of fact, your backyard is the best place to watch it, because if you want to go in and get a hot chocolate or something, it's red. available. And it's not the kind of event, since the moon is bright already, that there are any advantages to going out, say, into the middle of nowhere to see it. It's one of those several astronomical events that's best observed wherever you happen to be.
Thanks to Joe Donaldson in Powell. Joe says she's looking forward to checking out the observatory. Thanks a lot for your support, Joe, and thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have about 25 minutes left and 17 calls or web pledges to go this hour. That's plenty of time. I know it seems like you have plenty of time, so why don't you just pick up the phone right now and make the call. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.com. An upcoming potential meteor storm as Earth passes through the tail of a comet. This is going to be an event to honor the Thomas Worthington High School class of 2014 graduation on Sunday, May, is that 24th, I think? Seriously, I heard it could be the most dramatic sky event of 2014.
Well, it could be. And that's one of those things.
Oh, throw meteor showers, rain on my
meteor
parade.
Showers are inherently unpredictable, but what's going to happen in this case? Normally in a meteor shower, Earth passes through the leftover dust of a comet that has passed at some time or another. This time, Earth is going to pass right through the tail of that comet with an increase in the number of objects entering the atmosphere. And some of them are not dust size. Some of them are chunky, and that will lead to what we like to call a bolide or a fireball, some bright ones. Now, will this cause the meteor storm that people are expecting? Hard to tell. But we're hurt somewhat by the fact that the main part of this will happen when the direction that the objects are coming from in Camelopardalis is below the horizon. So, and this could happen over the entire evening. And stay tuned for more information about this. They might be able to make more specific predictions.
But this is
one of those where you get up and you stay up all night waiting for that couple of hours where Earth is actually passing through.
I thought I had the date written down. So
it's, I think it's the 25th.
Okay, May 25th.
May 25th. Start in the evening and work your way through the entire night into the 26th. As opposed to the lunar eclipse, where you're starting on April 14th,
but the
eclipse really happens in its major form the morning of the 15th.
Okay. So, thanks to Vicki LaFavor, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Vicki, in Delaware, and thanks to Tara Crow or Crohe in Columbus. Once again, two unusual names, but really, really great people because they picked up the phone or they went online and they made their pledge to WOSU, 89.7 NPR News, during All Sides with Dan Fisher, which is a way to give your vote of support for the show. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We have 15 pledges to go in about 21 or 22 minutes. That's plenty of time. Please help us out today. 1-866-897-9678. Once again, with a membership to 89.7 NPR News, you'll be supporting public radio and supporting all sides. And for this hour, we have two great thank you gift options. Get your own copy of the Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets and four tickets to see the stars with Tom Burns at the Perkins Observatory for a pledge of $15 a month as a sustainer or for a one-time gift of $180. Or if $120 fits into your budget better, get four passes to the observatory for a one-time gift of $120, or that's $10 a month as a sustainer. These are great thank you gifts for supporting All Sides with Ann Fisher during our spring membership drive. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. 15 pledges to go this hour. Thank you so much to Vicki and Tara for your help today.
Yes, my friends, please. If you don't pledge, they're going to get wise to the fact that I'm not a real astronomer and get somebody else. Come on.
One of the reasons why Tom is so much fun to talk to about astronomy is that he is a gifted astronomer. It may not be what he teaches, but it's what he knows for sure. But he is a writing teacher, so he's got the poetical down. And it makes it
stare in silent wonder at the stars.
And he's very passionate, and it comes through in everything he says and does with the observatory. You'll find it when you go visit the observatory, whether you go with one of the passes you get as a thank you gift today or whether you go on your own. One suggestion, call in advance to make reservations.
Yes, that's right. Very
Even
important
if you have
because
your pass.
The programs tend to fill up.
Yeah.
So call first to make sure we have tickets and you can use credit card over the phone, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And folks, let me tell you something. As far as that goes, there is no real way except stargazing to get a sense of who you are and where you are, what place you have in this universe, and you have an important place. You are the part of the universe that has come to understand itself, and my goodness, if you don't pursue that knowledge, you are wasting that great power that, so far as we know, we have uniquely in this universe. So get out there. And, you know, it's not that hard to do it either.
It's just
2 minutes.
You
go outside and you look up. It helps if you know. It helps if you know. It helps if you have a car so that you can get out to those dark rural skies.
Right.
And it helps to know, and that's really what we specialize in at Perkins, what you're seeing when you look up. That is Orion the Mighty Hunter. That is the Milky Way. Not a silvery band of light, but a galaxy of 300 billion stars that you see stretched across the sky like the backbone of God.
Sunitha and Shankar Kura from Columbus, thank you so much for showing your support for 89.7 NPR News. We have 14 pledges to go in just about 18 and a half minutes in this segment with Tom Burns. We're so happy to have him with us to talk about Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory, to talk about the stars and the moon and the galaxies and the universe. If you have a question or comment for Tom, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org.
Call in. And also, if you've just had some spectacular astronomical experience.
Oh, yeah, we always like to hear about other people's experiences.
I'm dying to hear about those. They're fodder for my column in the Delaware Gazette. But beyond that, that's what keeps me going, is hearing people's experiences. And if there's any way I can facilitate that, that's why I'm still working at
Perkins. Yeah, you don't have to have a question.
Instead of at
the
Taco Bell, my friends, it's because...
Yeah, you don't have to have a question to call in. You can share an experience. We love to hear about people's stargazing experiences, often especially with their children, because are such a different sense of wonder. Tom Burns, he's a great friend of 89.7 NPR News, and he's the director of the Perkins Observatory in Delaware, and he's here today to talk about exploring the night sky. The summer night sky is coming up with lots of interesting events. We're going to cover a few more of those before the end. This is your chance to support public radio right now while Tom is on the air. And remember, to get the WOSU member card, all you have to do is pledge $85 or more. Decide what fits into your budget, and if you would like that member card, you can use it at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions. Pledge $85 or more for the member card. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Joan McLean in Delaware. She says thanks to Ann and Tom for taking us out of the world at times like today. Yeah, it does feel like it's a way to get away.
Astronomy, sometimes. It's out of this world.
It's out of this world, and sometimes we just need to do that. We just need to get out of here.
But don't forget, folks, it is a way of seeing a wider world, but you are just as much a part of the Milky Way galaxy as a great nebula in which stars are born, or a hydrogen bomb star.
Or even a star called Regulus.
You're an important part of it because you can learn those things and spread that great addiction to stargazing and to the intellectual content of National Public Radio and WOSU to other people.
13 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal this hour. We have about 16 minutes to go. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. I know it only takes a few minutes. We have real live Central Ohioans waiting for your call right now. It's so much fun to go over there and chat with them about how it's going, what they're hearing from the listeners. So tell them what you think of the show. Tell them what you think of 89.7 NPR News, and please make that pledge right now. You wanted to talk about the current planet extravaganza.
Extravaganza!
Good views of Mars, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn. Rings, no extra charge.
Rings, no extra charge, yes.
So what's such a big deal?
Well, it's just there are a lot of planets visible right now. Often they are behind the sun or visible during the daytime. But we just have a nice crop of them if you're willing to stay up all night. Or you can see a lot of planets in the evening. Right now, Mars, for instance, is at opposition, which means it's rising around sunset and setting around sunrise. So it's best visible in the middle of the night. But Jupiter is visible in the early evening, almost directly south, a little bit to the southwest in the constellation Gemini. And the beauty of it is that Jupiter is not the kind of planet that you need a telescope as big as a corn silo to see. A pair of binoculars will show the four brightest moons of Jupiter, called the Galilean moons because they were discovered by
Galileo.
Hey, and you thought astronomy was hard, didn't it? And the beautiful thing, I mean, just about that one planet, is that those satellites, those moons, are zipping around Jupiter so fast. Io takes about an Earth day to go once around Jupiter, that you can actually, over a period of time, watch them move. I have watched Io disappear in front, for example, of Jupiter, and then a few minutes later cast its shadow upon the planet as a little black dot. And you can't see all of that in binoculars. If you have a small telescope, you can, but you can actually watch those moons move. And Saturn rises before midnight right now, later a little bit earlier each passing day, so that by the time summer rolls around, it'll be high in the south. And you cannot beat the view of the rings of Saturn, even in a small telescope. Up at the big telescope upstairs, I hear people all the time going, "Is it real? How can it be real? Do you have a picture taped in front of the telescope?" And it's just one of those experiences. If Saturn, the first time you see Saturn is something you remember for the whole rest of your life. And I've had people say that to me. Older folks like me coming up and saying, I'm still doing this, and I'm doing it because the neighbor kid had a telescope and I saw Saturn and its rings for the first time.
Do they always look the same?
No, they don't, as a matter of fact. Over, I think it's an 11-year cycle because of the various orbits, and because the orbits are slightly tilted with each other, Saturn's rings get more open, and then they close, and then they open again. And right now we're in the cycle where every year that passes, they're getting a little more open. So we are getting a fabuloso view of Saturn right now in the Perkins telescope. And also in the many telescopes provided, God bless them, from the Columbus Astronomical Society set up out on the front lawn, without whom we couldn't do the kind of public activities we do. I mean, it's two guys, Don Stevens and me, and a whole lot of volunteers from the Columbus Astronomical Society.
Right now, we have fewer minutes than calls needed to make our pledge goal this hour. We have 13 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal this hour and just about 12 minutes. Give us a call right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our spring membership drive, and our goal today is simple, to get your pledge of support. All Sides brings you conversations with interesting people in our community, people just like Tom Burns, but we can only continue the conversation if we have your support. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. And for a pledge of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you can get the four passes to the observatory in Delaware and the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. If $10 a month as a sustainer fits into your budget a little bit better, then you can get the four passes to the observatory, and the WOSU member card comes with that, of course. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Give a call right now. We're down to just about 10 minutes, and 13 more calls are needed to make our goal this hour. Tom Burns is with us right now to take your questions and comments. We'd like to hear your stargazing stories if you have any. We know our listeners usually do. You can give us a call at 614-292-8513 to do that. But first, make that call to make that pledge. 1-866-897-9678. We really do depend on you, our listeners.
And listen, folks, if you're afraid you are going to miss anything, I am going to, in a monotonal voice, say something, then I'm going to repeat myself, then I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it over and over and over again.
Please stop. Thanks, Peggy Whaley in Centerburg. Thank you so much for your show of support for All Sides with Ann Fisher for 89.7 NPR News. We really appreciate it. Thanks to Jody Todd in Columbus as well. That means we have 11 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal this hour. Thank you, Peggy and Jody, for your support. It means so much to hear from you.
Oh, and also, there was one more planet I wanted to add, if I could do that. Very briefly.
Okay.
In the morning sky, look to the east before the rising sun, and you will see the planet Venus.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting about Venus is it's now starting to become a binocular object, because Venus has phases. It's a shrinking crescent Venus, and it's also getting closer to Earth. So that you will get a fabulous view in a pair of binoculars. There's nothing that beats the crescent Venus, my friends. It's so unexpected. Check it out. It's beautiful. It's the morning star.
Just real quick, as far as binoculars go, some people think that's not possible, that you can really get that much a better look with a pair of binoculars. What kind of binoculars are you talking
about? Well, I would recommend, depending on the age you're buying for, 30-millimeter binoculars at low power, like 8x30s for younger folks. And then if you're a little bit older, get the 50-millimeter binoculars, again, at the lower power, 7x50s or whatever. Okay. And because it might seem crazy that you can see a lot in a pair of binoculars, but I would like to point out that Galileo's telescope was only 1 inch in diameter. Your binoculars are far more powerful than Galileo's telescope, and he discovered the craters on the moon, which you can see in binoculars. He discovered the four brightest moons of Jupiter. He discovered the phases of Venus. He discovered that the Milky Way was made up of uncountable stars. You can have all those experiences for the $35 or $40 to buy a pair of Z-Mart binoculars.
Thanks to Maggie Simpson in Delaware. 10 more calls or web pledges. We have just a little over 6 minutes to go. 10 more calls or web pledges at whatever level you can afford. If it's $5 a month, if it's $10 a month, $20 a month, $15 a month, whatever you can afford, it doesn't matter. It just matters that you show your support for your public radio station right now. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And by the way, the Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets has tips on using binoculars and telescopes. It has detailed charts covering each of the 88 constellations. There's data and notes on all the bright stars and objects of interest, so you know what you are looking at when you are stargazing. So at the $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, a family four-pack of passes to the Perkins Observatory. At the $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, four passes and the book Stars and Planets with all that information on binoculars and telescopes and everything you need to fall in love with the stars and the planets and the great beyond.
That's right. Think of Perkins as an entryway to the stars, and one good way of doing that is to make a pledge. You'll get some tickets, and we're glad to have you up there. As a matter of fact, we do the tickets a special way for Ohio State people so that we know who you are, and we will thank you profusely
and
for,
people do
for
use
your support.
Them. These aren't one of those things like you get at a silent auction that you never get around to using. People use the tickets.
Oh, and we've had up to half the people at our programs with WOSU-style tickets.
So,
and we're glad to have you, folks. Yep. It's your way of doing some good for two separate and, we believe, important organizations.
Thanks to Tom Johnson and Marion. Now just 9 more pledges this hour. We have 4 minutes, just a little over 4 minutes to go, and 9 more pledges. I know we can make it. Just pick up the phone if you've been putting it off for the hour. Pick it up. It'll only take a couple minutes. We promise we'll try not to say anything too staggeringly interesting while you're on the phone. But pick up the phone now and make and show your support.
1-866 Except to discuss the most important event of the century. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Biggest full moon is on August 10th.
Oh, yeah. 1-866-897-9678
or go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge of support now at whatever level. When we're counting these pledges, we're not counting how much. We're just counting the number of people that call up and say, we care about 89.7 NPR News. We care about WOSU. We care about All Sides with Ann Fisher. We care that she has people like Tom Burns on to talk about things like astronomy. Thanks to Alice Travis in Reynoldsburg. Thank you so much, Alice, for your show of support. Now just 8 more pledges in just about 3.5 minutes. 8 more pledges. I can see the phones are lifting up. They're moving to your ear. You are
Hallelujah.
Poking in the numbers. 1-866-897-9678. If I haven't burned them into your soul by now, 1-866-897-9678.
What was that phone number again?
3 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678, and just 8 more pledges to go in 3 minutes. There is the biggest full moon on August 10th, but that's also right around the same time as the Perseid meteor shower. Do they conflict?
They do. to some degree this year. You don't want to observe a meteor shower with the moon in the sky, although I must say that the Perseids have this reputation for having some brighter meteors mixed in, so it's worth going out, especially after local midnight, which, by the way, would be 1:30 a.m. for reasons I will not go into.
Just trust him.
Yeah, trust me. It's daylight, that cursed daylight savings time. And go out and observe, because even if the moon is in the sky, you'll still see a few bright ones. Anyway.
Thanks, Rebecca Thomas in Columbus. We have just 7 more pledges to go in 2 minutes. 1-866-897-9678. Go online to WOSU.org. We have just 7 more pledges to go and 2 minutes. 1-866-897-9678. Rebecca and Alice and Tom and all the rest, thank you so much for your support. Feels good, doesn't it? Now you can watch that largest full moon of what, the year or the century or what? On August 10th.
Let me put it to you this way. Any night that the moon is up is a good night to take out your binoculars.
Okay.
It won't look any different when it's a few percentage points
closer than
it was the night before.
It never fails. I see it when it's big and gigantic and huge when I'm driving, and I want to keep rubbernecking it, you know, all the way and see it between the trees and that sort of thing.
This is something I get calls about every year from
local. Is it the biggest moon of the night?
Well, it might be the biggest moon of the year, but remember that although the moon's orbit is elliptical, it's sometimes a little bit closer and sometimes a little bit farther away. It's practically circular, so the difference isn't that great from one night to another.
Tom Burns, thank you so much for joining us as usual. We appreciate it so much.
A pleasure, always.
Tom Burns, Director of Ohio Wesleyan University Perkins Observatory. Thanks to Henry in Dublin for your support. 6 pledges to go, 35 seconds to go, 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Thank you so much for all your support this hour. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. And thanks to everybody.